All right, thank you for being here this evening and being in your place. I know it's spring break, and we have our group out in Cambodia. I'll be glad to get them back on Saturday. Can I get a little more volume, please? I'm having trouble hearing a little bit. So I do want to mention one thing, just reiterate it. This Saturday is our Super Saturday where we're going to go out and before our ministry responsibilities or visiting or whatever and do a soul winning and passing out tracts, door knocking for Easter. So I encourage all of us to be here. If you don't typically come at 10. We have our meeting at 10. If you want to come a little early for the prayer meeting, that would be great. And we'll just go out for a little bit, do about 50 doors, and get the rest of those invitations out. We're probably going to be close to being done, so that this last week we'll just do some follow-up visits and personal invitations and so forth. But we are looking forward to a great Easter. So if you'll be here this Saturday, it is going to be a great time, especially with some of them out of town, so we could really use a little bit of help, although we're doing really, really well with that. And then I do want to say, I do encourage all the ladies to go to the ladies' conference. I think you will enjoy it. It is worth your time trying to get the day off work and be up there with our other ladies. You will have not just a good time, you'll be refreshed. And so I encourage you to do that. We are in our Proverbs series on the wisdom of avoidance. Of course, we understand Proverbs is the book of wisdom, and Proverbs talks about, I'm still not hearing a lot, so I really need a little help from the PA booth, just a little more there. It talks about the three different types of people in relation to wisdom, the wise man, the foolish man, and the simple man. We want to avoid being the foolish man who defies God's principle and embraces the things he's supposed to avoid. We want to be the wise man, the one who learns God's word and avoids what God tells him. And if we're simple, we want to trend towards the wise and not towards the foolish. We want to know what God says so we'll know what we are supposed to do, which gives us the ability to be wise, which is applying God's truth to our everyday life. We've already started, and we'll finish up the point that we started last week. We've looked at several areas where we're supposed to avoid. We're supposed to avoid sinful people. You say, well, everybody's a sinner. I guess I can't hang around with everybody. Well, you'd be hanging around with yourself, and you're a sinner too, so that could be a problem. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about a person, although we're all sinners, whose life is more gravitating towards, and they're choosing to be sinful. Big difference there. Then we talked about specific paths. There are some paths of life that God doesn't want us to take. He wants us on the righteous path and not the unrighteous path. And then we looked at avoiding stern punishments, how that God brings things into our life to direct us the right path like we would with our children. And we don't want God to have to get to the point where, as we sometimes have to chasten our children because they refuse to listen, we don't want that with God. We want to follow what he's doing so we can avoid that. Last week, we started, they passed out the notes, right? Everybody get notes? Okay, great. Last week, we started this one, and this is one where people struggle. Slackening protection. We want to avoid that. Look, everything God is telling us to do in the Bible is what he wants us to do. Of course it honors him. Of course it's good for us, but it also protects us. And we want to make sure we're doing that. We said, we'll do a 2-minute review and get into the new stuff. We said that avoidance, what we've been talking about, is for the purpose of building walls of protection in our lives from that which would cause us to be sinful or damage us spiritually. That's what it's all about. It's not about the actual protections. It's about what they accomplish. Look, I didn't say this last week. I'll say it this week. If we are struggling with sinful behavior or becoming unspiritual, it is not because of the wall. You understand that? Wall being the principles, the guidelines, the standards, the convictions that we put in our life to protect us. And so if we're having trouble, it is not because of those walls that we build for protection. That is like blaming a seatbelt for your bad driving. You're a bad driver because you're a bad driver. Has nothing to do with the seatbelt. The seatbelt just keeps you secure. I remember when we were kids, nobody wore seatbelts. You had those old station wagons with the back seat that's like 3 miles long. How many know what I'm talking about? And grandma and grandpa would say, jump in the back seat and hold on for dear life, right? My grandfather used to, we'd stay with him sometimes. He'd just say, get in the back of the truck. And he'd throw us in the back of the truck, say, hold on. And he would drive us down to see the Queen Mary. That's when the Queen Mary was still moving. And we enjoyed it. Of course, we had to hold on for dear life, but we enjoyed it. Understand this. Walls don't promote bad behavior. They seek to protect us from bad behavior. I gave the illustration a couple years ago. I read that a guy gave, and he was wrong. He said that when we give protections or we teach the Bible more from what God says don't do or says he's supposed to do, he said it's like putting a wet paint sign on a bench. When a person notices the wet paint sign, they automatically want to touch the bench. He blamed the wet paint sign. I blame our stupidity. I want to too. And you know what it proves? It proves that in the heart of man, we are naturally rebellious. That's why we need the wet paint sign. It's idiotic to do it the other way. It's like blaming wedding vows for adultery. Well, honey, if I did not have to promise to be faithful to you, I would have never cheated on you. Come on now, let's not be ignorant. But that's how we promote biblical standards, because we don't like them. No, the reason we want to break them is because we're sinful by nature. And we want to veer off. And so as we get close to God, we want to do the right thing. Now, this is all, we'll get to something new right now. If anyone, as I said last week, is not standing for Christ and living a righteous life, it's not because they have been kept from the world. People say that. It's because they were dabbling in the world and eventually went into it. You know, sometimes it's like, well, you know, we have all these kids and you try to protect them. I know we're trying to protect them. That's why we don't want to send them to public schools. Because they're promoting stuff that's just absolutely not only sinful, but horrific. They're not ready to combat that yet. But as they grow and they're enriched in the faith, they become adults, you know, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not. Because now they're mature enough to understand it. They may not understand it when they're little, but as they grow, and then you start to help them to get the concept of why we do it, they become adults, they get it. Now they're ready to fight it. And so that's what we're there. So let's look again. The verse we used was Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. The word keep, as we have mentioned, literally means to guard, to protect from dangers. It's where we get the term watchman, right? Like a guardian. We have to protect and guard our heart from wrong influences. Like we guard our valuable things. Okay? People have security on different things. Why? We're trying to guard it. And so our heart is vitally important, because once it gets infected with sin, once it gets infected we don't guard it, we let stuff in, now we're headed down a really bad path. But we want to guard what goes into our heart. We want to guard what we allow in, not just our heart, our minds. And we're supposed to do it with all diligence. The word diligence has the connotation of a place of confinement, like a prison. We guard our heart, we close it in, and we confine that which is good, and we make sure we don't let anything bad in there with it. The heart is what we keep or protect. Diligence is how we are to protect it. It amazes me, I think you have a statement there, how we are diligent to protect the things we have in this life, but how sloppy we are when it comes to protecting things that would ruin our spiritual life. I wish we had as much diligence in the spiritual protection as we do in the physical protection. right? Remember, you don't have to do it now. You have the stereo in your cars and people would steal them all the time. How do you remember that? There's not a lot of money in that, and it's a lot harder nowadays, and you could hook up by Bluetooth, so now they just steal your catalytic converter, okay? By the way, that's a lot easier, and you get more money anyhow, so if you're looking for a side hustle, just kidding. But remember what they used to have? They used to have them where you get out of the car, you could clip and pull the little face off of it. You guys don't even remember. How many know what I'm talking about? And the little tiny face would come off, rendering it useless, so why would they steal it? Okay? We'd lock our cars and put security systems. Remember, we used to go up, we'd visit our in-laws, and they lived on a farm, and they'd always laugh at me because I'd park on the farm at night because that's where we were staying, and they're like, why are you locking your doors? And I'm like, you don't know where we live. Okay? I understand where they live. The cows are not breaking into cars. But we have to protect it. And so, why do we do this? It says, for out of it are the issues of life. You know what that means? The boundaries. Where we go from. Do you understand? We have to guard our heart because that determines what boundaries we have in our life. And when we're sloppy and we allow the wrong in, the boundaries are widened to allow in that which should not be allowed in. Our heart determines where our boundaries are and where we progress in the miseries. I already had this put together, but this week I was reading in the book of Judges and I saw a great illustration of this. Samson let his protections down. Okay? Samson had the Nazirite vow. Samson was a one-man army. As I say often, because we don't comprehend this, the book of Judges, a judge would be raised by God, he would get an army together, and he would help them get their freedom and defeat somebody. Samson's the only one that didn't have an army. He didn't need one. He was the army. And God gave him this. How did he lose it? We know how he loses it. Here's where he started to lose his protection. Look at Judges 14, verse 1 to 3. And this has been man's weakness ever since. And Samson went down to Timnah and saw a woman in Timnah of the daughters of the Philistines. I imagine when he saw her, she probably wasn't, she was probably representing. And not only that, after he saw her, it's like, wow. She was a daughter of the Philistines. They were off limits. That wasn't a group they mingled and they were to intermarry. They were mortal enemies. Verse 2, and he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnah, the daughter of the Philistines. Now therefore, get her for me to wife. What's he doing? He's letting the boundaries down. She looks good. Doesn't matter if she's a Philistine. Then his father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughter of the brethren or among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson, here's his argument. Get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. He didn't answer the question. He says, I want her. She makes me happy. I like the way she looks. So he started down that wrong path. Once you start down that path, it gets worse, doesn't it? Verse 16 and verse 1. Then went Samson to Gaza. We could use him there now. I thought that was pretty good. Just like, hey, let us know when you're done. And saw there a harlot and went in unto her. He could probably, in his own mind, justify the Philistine in Timnah, right? She was living with her family, after all. They were involved in the whole deal, even though God said don't. But you notice the down, now it's a straight out, and by the way, there was another girl in between here. Now it's just a harlot. Super low morals. Okay? He's going to be with her. So now we know the story. They want him, And so they go to her and say, hey, find out where his strength comes from. They understood that if a guy is a one-man army, that his strength is not normal. It's coming from somewhere. And they probably figured out from his God. They've heard the stories, I'm sure. And so they're like, okay, so figure it out. And of course, they're going to go to the girl because she's gonna get it out of him. What was the final nail in the coffin that really dealt him that last blow? Look at Judges chapter 16. You know, he messes around. You know how it is, right? Hey, tell me your strength is. And he makes up some story. Hey, if I was tied with this, you know, that, you know, the little wither never dried, you can get me. And so she ties him up when he's asleep. By the way, he was super dense. Once you let things in your heart, the stuff that's just common sense, it's like, hey, bro, time out. She several times you told her a lie, and she said the Philistines are coming, and you broke out of it, and she got mad. Now, you don't have to be a brain surgeon. Something's wrong here, right? But when you're that far out, and your heart is that wide open to nonsense, you don't see the obvious. And so so she gets upset, verse 15. And she said unto him, how can, you know, I'm not going to talk like a girl. How canst thou, she didn't say that either. How canst thou say I love thee when thine heart is not with me? Thou hast mocked me these three times, and so forth. And hast not told me wherewith thy great strength lieth. Here she is. She's pushing him. She's pushing him. She's pushing him. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him so that his soul was vexed unto death. By the way, that would have been a really good time to say, grab a parachute, jump out the window, and say Geronimo. Can yeah. Verse 17. Okay, you get it? That he told her, what is that? All his heart, wide open. No guard. He just let it all out. And said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall become weak and like any other man. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, she sent and called for the Lord of the Philistines, saying, come up at once. She goes, got him. Game, set, match. For he has showed me all his heart. Then the lords of the Philistine came in unto her and brought money in his hand. And she made him sleep upon her knees, and she called for a man. Man, he must have been out. We're talking melatonin out. And she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head, and she began to afflict him. Notice that. She's the first one to kind of figure it out. And his strength went from him. And she said, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times. That's the ignorance. He knew she was doing this. And shake myself, and he wished not that the Lord was departed from him. By the way, when your heart goes, you forget that God's out on this thing. That's a really dangerous place to be. You open your heart up completely, you have zero borders, and you still think God's with you. There's no spiritual discernment at all. Why? Because instead of confining what's in your heart, you've let it wide open to everything. And we know what happened to Samson. He died. He ended up, eyes gouged. They were making fun of him. God did allow him to take out several thousand of them, but he had to die too. But you know what happened? He let his heart out. You know, if we open up our heart and we let the walls of protection down, it's an inside job. We can be pressured from Satan. We can be pressured with our flesh. We can be pressured with the world. But when we give in, it's because we have chosen to give in. So you know where the breach comes from? Me. We all know about the Great Wall of China, one of the great ancient structures of the world, one that's still here. It measures 5,500 miles in length. Now, we know what walls were for in those days. Walls were there to protect from the enemy because they didn't have the technology and the tools to break through the wall easily. It took a while if they did get through it all. Do you know from what I have read that it's very secure, that it has only been breached by enemies on only three occasions? And do you know every single time it was breached, it's because a guard was bribed and let them in. They didn't breach the wall. It was an inside job. If your heart is breached and you open up those walls, it's an inside job. That's why the Bible commands us and tells us that we're supposed to guard it with everything within us. Because once something that is not Christian lodges itself in your heart, you will form an emotional attachment to it, which is hard to free yourself from. Pastor used to give, Esposito used to give it all the time. That's why we don't believe in Christian, Christian dating. We do. We don't believe in teen dating. They're not ready for a relationship. Man, they can hardly hang out with each other and not get upset. They're too immature to form that kind of relationship. Be a teenager. When you're an adult, you'll be able to figure that whole thing out. Because here's what happens. And teenagers, if you're here, you're not dumb, but you're ignorant when it comes to the things of life. And it's not because you're ignorant, you can't figure it out, you're young. That's okay. That's why God placed you in a family. So you can get some guidance until you're an adult and you're on your own. But they'll form an attachment with the wrong person. Somebody that is ungodly. Why do you think these kids, you hear the horror stories, run off with somebody that they met online or they go try to meet them, and it's not a 17-year-old guy, it's a 45-year-old guy who ought to be strung up. But they're trying to get, by the way, they're trying to get rid of that now. Anyhow, now I won't go into it because I don't want to get cut off on YouTube. But Pastor used to say on many occasions, he said, look, it is easier to get people off of drugs sometimes than it is to get them out of a bad relationship. Because that emotional attachment, that's why we have to guard ourselves. Something gets in. And let me say this, parents, we have an even harder task than guarding our own heart. We are to do everything we can to guard the hearts of our children until they are old enough to take that mantle and do it themselves. There'll be a day when they're adults and they have to move forward. They're out of your house. And so we guard them and teach them and train them until that time. And so that's really hard. If we're careless in our own lives, we will be careless in our parenting. There'll be a casualty. For most Christians, for most of Christianity, the opposite of this verse is true, right? The guard is off duty. The gates are wide open. And we allow anything in and avoid nothing. People, we can't do that. We're going to ruin our Christian life. We're going to become a train wreck. And I'm talking to me. I know buddies and friends that I've known, pastors, and people that have worked in ministry whose lives are a train wreck. You know why? At some point, they slacken the walls of protection because I'm doing the work of God. No, you still need the walls of protection because you're a Christian and there's a devil and there's a flesh and there's a lot of bad things out there. So we all need it. We got to be very careful. You hear people who are more liberal saying that it's okay for us to do what we want. We're under grace. And if we talk about avoidance, that's legalism. It's a very warped philosophy. We cannot trade avoidance for exception. Write this down and let me give you a couple more thoughts here. The protections we place in our life now will produce results later. Okay? Very important. The protections we place in our life now produce results later. Sometimes people will come into a church like ours, and they'll see it, and they'll see people in the church, and like, hey, it looks like there's a lot of people here that are happily married. Looks like there's some good teenage kids. Looks like they're happy or whatever. And they'll come in, and they may say, you know, that's the product I want. I want to have a marriage like that. Either I'm in it now or later. I want to have children like that. I want to have a life of joy like that, of purpose and fulfillment and meaning, and they like that. And then they stick around for a while, and they start to understand that, well, there's a process that has to be followed to get that product. And the problem is they choke on the process. That's fine, but don't expect the product. You see, we look at the process, the walls, and say, I don't like that, which is a bad spirit to have because there's actually nothing wrong and it's not hurtful. But you got to have that to get the product.
Amen.
Very important. Now, the verses after this show some of the results of protection. These are the verses after. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 24 to 27. Put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight upon thee. Ponder the path of thy feet. Let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. So what happens when we have the right kind of protections? First of all, protections produce a right communication. Verse 24, put away from thee a forward mouth and perverse lips put far from thee. I can tell you what kind of protection someone has in their life by the way they talk. Leaks out. For out of the abundance, I don't even know where it is. It's somewhere in one of the Gospels. For out of the abundance of the heart, what happens? Mouth speaks. Okay? Foul mouth, all this stuff. There's something going on in your heart. What's in here is leaking out. You know, you come to church and say, praise the Lord. You go to work and hit your thumb with a hammer and you say something different. Do you say that? Then put your thumb over here. Let me help you praise God. No, come on now. Now, I understand it. I remember, man, I was serving God and I was doing really well, you know, and I was on fire for God and someone did something one time and I flipped them off. What are you doing? Man, as soon as I did it, I'm like, what are you doing? That's the old Steve. I'm like, well, they deserved it, so, you know. But you know what? That was rare. And I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. It had been a long time since I did it, at least a couple days. But listen, if you constantly are losing it with your mouth and saying things that make a sailor blush, why do we always pick on sailors? I don't know. Probably bad. Put away from thee a forward. Forward means distorted or crooked. And perverse. Deviant. So how are you talking? Because it's from your heart. You say, so how do I clear that up? That's good. Good thought. Get in the Bible, follow God, and put those guards in your heart. Protections produce a right focus. Verse 25. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. You know, if we're not going to let the world protection in, we might want to keep our eyes away from it and look straight ahead. Right? As we're traveling down this path of Christianity, it's like we're walking down this street, and Satan's going to throw a lot of nonsense off to the side to get us, hey, what's this? Right? You ever see children? They walk into things. Because they'll talk to you and they'll go like this while they're walking. It's like, here we go. Bang! Wall. They're not looking right on. You're going to go in the direction you look.
There you go.
And so he's saying, look, if we're guarding our heart, we're supposed to keep our eyes looking right on. Avoid looking or being a part of anything. By the way, sometimes our focus is not necessarily sinful in nature. We're looking at things that are not necessarily sinful, but they'll move our focus away from God. Sometimes we give good things too much priority in our life. That could be a problem. Well, I like to fish. Great. Don't fish on Sundays. Okay? I mean, come on. Well, I like to bowl. Don't bowl on Sundays. I like to whatever. Don't do it on Sundays. That's church day.
Amen.
Anyhow. Right focus. Next, protections produce a right mindset. As we're going the right way and we're looking straight ahead, it says, ponder the path of thy feet. Think about it. Let all thy ways be established. If we're going to open up this wall here and let stuff in, we should stop and think about it. What direction will this take me? Come on now.
Amen.
It's why there's certain things we're not going to do as a church, at least not while I'm behind the pulpit. Okay? Well, Pastor, I just don't think it's old. I know where it's going. I want to stay on the right path.
Yep.
I've seen where it's taken my friends who've taken their churches that direction.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. Their youth group is a mess. Look, you want them to be a mess, not going to happen while I'm here. Get someone else. Now, it's up to you. If you want your kids to be that, those are your kids. But you're never going to be able to stand and say, hey, he didn't say anything. I probably say too much. I'd rather be accused of that. But I'm trying to look at the end, like, wait a minute. Where will this take us? If I don't want to go there, I'm not going to drive there. Okay, I'm going to take my GPS and like, here's where I want to go. And I'll follow it closely. Think about where you're going. Well, you know, Pastor, it'd just be kind of cool if we did this. Not here. Look what Proverbs doesn't have 119 chapters. Be honest with you, I wish it did. Okay, we probably preach out of it every day. Psalm 119. I thought on my ways and turned my feet unto thy testimonies. You know, David's like, I'm thinking about the path I'm taking, and you know what? I don't like it, or that's not the path I want to take. I want to follow your testimonies. I want to follow what you're saying, because that's going to take me to where I should be. Next, protections produce a right commitment. Turn not to the right hand nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. That takes commitment. Like, you know what? I'm not going left, not going right. Although if I had to go, I'd go right, not left, okay? Especially in November. But, you know, and I'm not going to, if evil's around, I'm leaving. I'm going to remove myself. I'm not going to be in that situation. Why? Because I want to guard my heart.
Amen.
But let me share a couple thoughts. You don't have notes and we're done. Let's guard our hearts by setting up these boundaries or these walls, biblical boundaries, to help us avoid. So when we think of that, I've used the word a few times, right? We think of standards, which are walls of protection, guardrails for spirituality. By the way, Christianity, or at least our modern version of it, criticizes standards, convictions, you call them whatever you want to call them. Well, you guys have a rule book for your school? Yes. Why? If you have children, you wouldn't ask why. You know how children are. Man, children ought to be lawyers. They can figure out loopholes for everything.
Yeah.
Right? We have to have those. You know, we used to have some, we've had them in the past, not, it hasn't happened a long time. They get demerits, you know. Some kid, you know, like posted on social, I got demerits for this, and go to a different school. By the way, high schoolers don't do that because we don't allow them to have social media. Well, I want my high schooler to have social media. That's fine. Go to a different school. They don't need it. Okay? Man, we can barely handle it.
Come on. Yep.
I want to get on social media and say things. And I know pastors, they get on there like, I'm going to tell you what this guy did. And I'm like, I want to say that. But I'm like, why? It's not going to do any good. Blast somebody. No, they're there for a reason. By the way, whatever you feel about him, but our former Vice President Pence, what did he get ridiculed for? He had a rule. I'm not alone with another woman. Is that it? Or I wouldn't eat with them or whatever. And he's mocked for that by the world, who has a marriage success rate that's in the toilet. Maybe that's why. Right? He's like, nah, I'm married. So if I'm going to be alone with a woman, it's going to be my wife.
Yep.
By the way, I have that rule.
Yep.
Our staff has to have that rule. Well, Pastor, I don't like that rule. Work somewhere else. Okay? If someone's going to do something idiotic, they're going to have to bypass some things. That's a good rule.
Yep.
I would be beyond smoked if I went out to eat with somebody and there was my wife having lunch with a work associate. It would get real unpleasant real quick. Well, they're just having lunch. I know he's going to have it on his lap. That's ignorance. That's not going over very well. What is this? Move on quickly. Okay, good. That's what it says right there. Just The real fact of the matter is, and here's what we don't want to admit. You ready? Everybody has standards. Everybody has a line of demarcation. I don't cross that line. Now, they criticize us because we choose to have our line closer to what the Bible says and not close to where, you know, I'm not sinning, but barely. Here, let me help you. Can I help you with this? Let's think of clothing. I believe in modesty. Two things the Bible says about ladies' clothing specifically. By the way, ladies, I know you don't like to hear stuff like this, but let me say something, and Brother Vineyard was right. Brother Jim Vineyard said this, ladies, if you knew how men were motivated and how they think, you would wear a blanket. We're motivated by sight. Yep. But anyhow, the Bible talks about two things. Number one, it's for identification. Men have a certain type of clothing. Ladies have a certain type of clothing. Now, ladies started wearing men's clothing. And people used to say, like, okay, ladies, men are going to start wearing your clothing. No, they're not. Really? The army guy. His name's not Rachel. They want to be a lady, so what do? Let's come on now. They wear lady clothes. But lady wear, anyhow, men's clothes, we're okay. So, oh, there, move on quickly. But here's the deal. And modesty is for covering up. Not exposing yourself. So here's the deal. We have standards. Anybody can come to church. But, you know, if you're gonna be serving in ministry, we have certain requirements. But regardless of what it is, let's go with showing yourself. I believe, you say, Pastor, I'm new. Please don't crucify me, and I'm not harping or being mean. Ladies, the Bible, and for men too, by the way, the men too. The Bible calls showing your thighs nakedness. I don't like that. I know. Neither do I. It's in the Bible, so let's just roll with it. Okay? So I don't believe you wear a dress or a skirt should be above your knees because of what the Bible says. You say, well, Pastor, I don't believe that. Okay, I'll give you that. Let me ask you this, though. Here's where, don't give me that stuff like, well, we just don't have that standard. Okay, what is yours? Come on now, where's the line? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? Is it here? It's not that you don't like standards, you just have lower ones. I can respect that. I disagree completely, but let's just be honest, you do. No, you just have, I don't have a standard on that. So let me ask you this, and I'll be very kind here. Are you gonna walk around in your undergarments? No lady or man should do that. By the way, I'll just throw this out because summer's coming. Bikinis are nothing but colored underwear. So it's okay to wear your undergarments in public if you put rainbows on them. No, let's move on. I'm now in trouble, and this is not even the point of the message. Here was the point, though. And by the way, clothing's an easy one. But wherever it is, you have a line. Everybody does. Everybody does. Church, I don't believe that ladies should have to wear that to serve in a ministry at our church. Okay. But they do believe something. Because if a lady came in wearing short shorts, they'd say something. So the problem isn't that we have standards or convictions and they don't. Everybody does. Here's the question. Where do you get them from? That's the thing. Well, we choose to get ours from the scripture. We choose to look at it and say, how can I apply this? Yeah. Right? And I'm going to make a standard based on that. Okay? And so that's the problem. But please don't buy this nonsense from more liberal views of Christianity where they say, oh, you just have standard. We don't have. Yes, they do. Yes, they do. Most workplaces have a standard of what you have to wear. Maybe lower, but come on. Let's just find out what the Bible says. So let's not criticize that. Those are walls of protection. Okay? And we choose to follow what the Bible says and try to figure out how do we apply this and what are the things we should do that would help us to do this and not get away from it. Everybody has it, but some people just want to lower it for their own self-satisfaction. That's between them and God, but don't tell me you don't have one.
Yeah.
You have one. Okay. We better stop. Oh, we are done. Let's pray. Let's stand together if we may. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for this evening. I hope, Lord, that this came across in the spirit in which I was trying to get it. But Father, we all need protection. Lord, every single one of us could be an example, like people we've heard of and even characters in the Bible who have ruined their lives and got into trouble because they violated those walls of protection. Help us not to be like that. Help us to follow you in such a way we're protecting our spirituality and freeing ourselves up to serve you without any hindrance from sin. Bless us now as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.